And we want to look this morning. I've started a teaching during the Aries series. It's called Jesus, and he's God's plan for salvation. We're going to look at this today because it's really important. Lord wants me to emphasize this morning, we're going to emphasize healing. We're going to look into this area, is concerning salvation. Also, you know, because you can't deal with healing without dealing with what redemption is. And we want to, you know, we need to grasp a hold, especially as ministering people. People talk about, well, preaching the gospel. Yet the majority of the church world does not preach the gospel. And is it because they're some kind of heathen? They just think that getting born again or becoming a child of God, forgiveness of sin, that's it. The rest of it, you just work out best you can, and this is it. And sometimes God says yes, sometimes he says no, and that's the God, that they call that the gospel. This is the way it is. And what they do is they measure what God does by what they see happening around them. Well, if you believe God's in control, then that would be the way you'd go. You know? I hear ministers preach on the areas of healing, and they talk about, well, look at all the people who are sick. Well, God must not be healing today. Well, look at all the people that aren't saved, so he must not be saving today. They have no logic in what there's no logic in what they preach. And we need to get over, especially for us, we need to become more focused on the Word and focused on what's going on. You're going to have to do that. Get focused on the Word, what the Word of God says. Understand this, Jesus Christ is the Word. The lack of focus on the Word is the lack of focus on Jesus. If you don't like studying and reading the Word, doing stuff like that, you have a lack of focus on Jesus, because Jesus is the Word. You ought to really like what you see. He's the Creator. Everything that is exists. You know, the fact that we got this Bible today, it's all because of Jesus. The fact that you had, we ought to be in love with this thing. If I'm not, then there's something wrong with me. And it isn't. It's because I'm living by the outside instead of the inside. My inner man longs for this. The Bible, the Word of God, is food to the spirit man. And, you know, as Kenneth Hagin used to tell us this all the time. He used to say, you know, most people, they feed themselves 3 meals a day and 1 snack a week to their spirit. And that's what people do. You know, you can't survive off a Sunday morning.
Amen.
You can't survive as a Christian off a Sunday morning. That ain't happening. At least I haven't been able to. It's like you have to stay, you know, in line with the Word. The Word has to become life to you, and it's a source of, it should be a source of joy. I mean, I'm excited about what the Word says. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I just came back, you know, some meetings, and you know, you a couple meetings a day you sit in and that kind of stuff. I'll tell you, till the week's over, I mean, man. You want to go burn up somewhere, okay? you're excited. I mean, get the Word in you. Hallelujah. God don't have to drag me to a meeting. He don't have to drag me to something. It ain't a problem. Hallelujah. But you said, and you know, people say, well, it's not always easy to go. No, it's not. You know, my job don't change while I'm away. I come back and I got to do everything that I wasn't doing while I was there. It doesn't matter. It's more natural work, but I'll tell you, I come back with a lot of energy to fulfill. There's one thing I find out, this. When I stay in line with the Word, I find out all those stupid things I'm doing in life that I think are important or aren't. And spending my life thinking I'm doing something wonderful, and a lot of ain't wonderful at all. It is keeping you away from God. Oh, I know. That's just me. You guys got it figured out. That's just me. I'm having trouble sometimes in this stuff. But when I get over, what happens when I get into this place? Like this week I come back and I start saying, well, you know, this shouldn't be a priority in my life. This shouldn't be something that drags it. This shouldn't be. I should this. And this would be the thing to do. You know, you start. See, when the Word gets, say, all of a sudden you start, the light's on. And you look around the room of your life and saying, what am I doing messing with that? It isn't about sin, but I'll tell you what. You might as well sin if the things in your life are keeping you from God.
Amen.
If they're keeping you from a way of that fellowship, that which will take you to a place to do things that will be so glorious.
Amen.
So wonderful.
Hallelujah.
Your dreams are fulfilled. You know, you find if you go out in this world and people who have become great successes at things, they know what to focus on and know not what not to focus on. If you don't, in the spirit realm, it's the same way. People want to step into glory. You don't step into glory doing what you've been doing that hasn't brought you to glory. Hey, it's simple. You got to get focused. Hallelujah. We have things in life we have to do, and we may not enjoy doing some of them, but there are things you have to do because it's just life. And you have to do certain things, and that's fine. And we have to understand that. I understand that perfectly. But we do a lot that we don't have to, and many times set aside things of God by not doing it. And I know, I ain't throwing rocks at nobody else. I mean, it's things, you know, I can get on track, and, you know, I get down the road 6 months later, I thought, what happened? I'm off track already. I'm off. Got it. Get back over here, stupid. and if you don't stay close to the Word, you'll just stay off track.
Amen.
Preach. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise God, it's good. I want to be on track. Hallelujah. And this is one thing I always said, if I get out of line and I'm missing God, I've always said this, God will send somebody from the other side of the earth to come and tell me to get me in line. He'll do whatever He is. I want to stay in line. I don't know about you. Hallelujah. And I've literally had that happen already where God has spoken to somebody and told me, who came and said something to me, and it was exactly what I needed to hear. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, I ask God to do it. He'll do it. You know, sometimes you can't get yourself in a place to hear God. Sometimes you can try and you can't. And you say, God, maybe you need to send somebody. Maybe Jesus needs to show up, or I'm an angel, or you need to send somebody. And I'm willing for any of it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. To talk to me. And so, praise God. God does it. This morning we're going to look over in the areas, because talking about healing, we want to go over to Isaiah 53. We're going to talk there this morning. In Isaiah 53, we're talking about our redemption. There's one thing that you cannot do. You cannot separate healing from redemption. You can't do it. You will have, if to do it is to deny the Word of God. Now, and I'm sorry, but I'm not saying this to be critical, but the majority of the church has divided it. In fact, much of even the Spirit-filled church has divided it. They put healing on a lower level than born again. In doing that, what they did, they're criticizing the ministry of Jesus when He was in the earth. Did He have healing somewhere down there, kicked down the bottom and sold to God? Well, you know, yeah, it's good, but it would sure be better if you got your sins forgiven. Did He ever preach such a message? No, that's only in America. No, they preach this stuff all over the world. People do this all over the world because men live in their ideas. This is why you got to stay close to the Word. I've learned this over the years. I don't care how much I like a preacher and I enjoy his messages. I still check them out in the Word. And I found out people I love and think they do good things sometimes teach things that ain't accurate with the Word. Gee, I mean, you might find out about yourself. I have found about me things that I thought were what they were, and over time found out they weren't. Hallelujah. You know, it is easy to preach things that you hear people say and say things that people say because you liked hearing it. It sounded good, but it wasn't right. And much today we have preached to people who liked hearing because people preach good things to them and all that, but they just ate everything. Kenneth Hagin used to talk about his own preaching. He'd say, have enough sense as an old cow. Eat the hay and leave the sticks. The average Christian today eats every stick that's put in front of them. Just go with it. You got to check out for yourself. Find out, is this really true? Hallelujah. Because what sets you free is not what somebody says. It's the truth that makes men free.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And I don't know it all, and I don't know anybody it is, and so we ought to be measuring things, because if I'm measuring against the Word, I'm having Jesus as my yardstick. You need to have Jesus as your yardstick and not a man. Hallelujah. We're not following men, we're following Christ. That's what Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. In other words, if I ain't following Christ, don't be following me.
Amen.
There's a lot of people wouldn't get followed today in the ministry if people would follow Christ. They're off course. Hallelujah. It's not criticism. It's people don't check. You know, you can't help get a person on course if nobody stops and tells them they're off course. You can get over deceived off course and not even know it until somebody stops and says, hey, hold it, knock it off. That's not today. People have itching ears. They just, tell me everything's going to be all right even if it's not. You know? It's like the battered wife. Well, he said he loves me. He said he loves me. They want to hear those words so bad, they'll allow him to do all kinds of stuff. But he said he loves me. That's the church today. People are so messed up and squirrely, they just want to hear, He loves you. You're all right when it ain't all right and it ain't going to go all right. Hallelujah. I don't want to be the fool in the ditch. If I'm not, it's not all right, I want to know. Hallelujah. Don't you? Glory to God. If I'm driving down the road and the bridge is out, I want a sign out there somewhere. Say, well, God loves you. He'll protect you. Ah! Well, you get to be with Jesus. Hallelujah. I mean, that's a good end, but maybe it wasn't supposed to end there. So, hallelujah. Let's go for a good ending. I want to start off with Isaiah 53 and verses 1 and 2. I'm going to read first. Isaiah in his prophecy said, "Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the ground, a dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." Now I want you to see this because it is interesting. One thing as I found out, and you folks have heard, I've said it already, but I've heard it many times before, said I didn't invent to say it, but he says many times God sends you what you need in a package you don't like. You find out many times. See, people, you know, well, I really don't like that guy's preaching. You know, he doesn't, I don't think he speaks in love. Well, is he telling the truth? If he's telling the truth, you best be listening and keep your mouth shut and sit down. And see, we need to know, we like a package. Many times we miss things because we don't like the package. And what we have here is Jesus ain't going to be the package people like. Jesus ain't going to be the handsome, cute guy. See, the pictures you see of Jesus ain't what Jesus looks like. That's man's rendering of Jesus. That's man's rendering. Jesus wasn't this blue-eyed guy walking around with his cute face. Any movie that you've ever seen with Jesus in it, Jesus don't look like none. They always get that guy with a big smile. He's looking right, oh, and his hair's flowing back. And Jesus didn't look nothing like that. We have here, what's the word say? You wouldn't look at him. The girls didn't want to marry him. He wasn't the cute guy. Well, I hear people say, "Boy, I wish I lived back when Jesus was in the earth. You wouldn't have recognized him anyhow. So get over yourself. You'd have been walking around, you know." But see, we have made things into our own image and our ideas. And what we're doing, you know, is, you know, Jesus made this statement. And he criticized the Jewish leaders because of following the things that the elders had set up, and in other words, he called them the traditions of the elders, the traditions of men set up. We have them today in the church. We have the traditions today. You know, we have the traditions today. We made the cross a cute little piece of jewelry to wear. There wasn't nothing cute about the cross. The Bible says that the cross is a place of sin and shame. We've made it an ornament, and it's not an ornament. It's a place of sin and shame. Why? Jesus got a hanging there because of me being disgusting. That's right. With no diamonds in Ed's cross. There was none of that there. It was sin and shame. The cross would have done nothing for you had Jesus not been raised from the dead. Paul wrote about it. If Jesus died and that was it, your sins weren't. If he wasn't raised from the dead, there was no justification for you. You know, my words. I mean, get the rock that rolled away from the tomb and put that around your neck. Well, you know, but see, that our salvation, his resurrection, the power of the resurrection is what changed everything for you and me. What God did in his redemption when he was raised, that was the finality of redemption. When Jesus was raised from the dead, he went into the holies of holies of heaven and he took his blood and redemption was paid for. That changed everything. Everything was changed. Until that moment, man was still in his sin. Even though your sin was put on him and he died, that's as far as it gets. There was no resurrection for you and me. Till his blood got in the holies of holies. The high priest had to himself go into the holies of holies, just like they did. Listen, had to go into the holy holies with blood. And amazing, he was the high priest and the sacrifice. Phenomenal. A phenomenal event took place. But we want to look today as what he did for it. He wasn't this good-looking, cute thing. Let's get all the traditions of men and throw them away. Let's look at Jesus. We're more interested today. Our symbols are what man has made rather than the looking at the power of the Word of God and what God did. Let's get our focus on what the Word says, because the Word is much more dynamic than the symbols. The symbols are just this man, the man's ideas. It, the glory of it. And so we need to keep our eyes on there. And this is what God does, because we lose things. It's easy to build our own traditions, you know, and have the traditions of what. There's nothing wrong with traditions, but many times traditions come more important than reality and truth. It does. Traditions, men's traditions of things. Well, this is the way we do it. I want you to understand this. You know, why did Mary Magdalene have want to come and get her son and other sons and got together to come down to haul Jesus off because they think he's nuts? I'll tell you why. He's not following tradition. The tradition was when daddy dies, the eldest stays at home and take care of his mama. That wouldn't surprise me as one of the reasons why they didn't accept him when he went back to his hometown. Because he didn't do that. He didn't stay home and take care of mama. He followed the will of the Father. Amen. Tradition. It's just like with David. Tradition was so strong that Samuel thought, God will definitely anoint the good-looking guy in the front, and he's the eldest. Yeah. See, because that's the tradition of Israel. That was their tradition. God said, and said to him, hey, the guy ain't here that's one of the one I want. David, being the youngest, was so insignificant in the traditions. When Samuel told David's father, Jesse, to bring all his sons up, they left David in the field. They didn't care about him. Yep. Yep. Tradition. Tradition kills Christianity, and we're full of it. Everybody today coming to America wants to bring all their traditions and all their stuff, and they want to have it. It has killed Christianity in America. Everybody's traditions. We're fighting a race fight. It's our traditions. This is why we fight the race fight. It's the traditions. The traditions are more important than God, even in the church. The traditions of men. But I'm going to tell you, I want to get God's traditions. I want the traditions of the kingdom. The things that are set down that bring life to people. Hallelujah. Traditions don't heal people. Traditions don't set people free. Hallelujah. But whom the Son set free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, we want to look at one of the things I want to look at, because is Jesus in his talking? I want to look at some of these things and just read you some scriptures, because the prophet will go on, and we're going to pick this up then. The prophet goes on to talk, goes on to speak about the redemption. But what we have here, I want you to, we're going to first start off here on this and reading verse 3 through 5. I'll tell you what I want. I'm going to do that. Let's go over. First of all, I'm going to read to you some things here, because a man in Matthew, I want to read you in Matthew 16, because we're going to find out that what Jesus said about what the prophet said, Jesus tried to reveal to his disciples about what was going to happen to him, yet they didn't get it. The scripture tells it was hidden from them, but it wasn't hidden from them because God was trying to hide it. God was saying it. It was hidden from them because they wouldn't search it. They wouldn't. God, he spoke. Now, because I want you to see it. First of all, here's a familiar one. It's always about Peter in Matthew 16. I'm going to read down through a few of these down through here, because it gives us some real ideas about what Jesus Christ is trying to reveal, what he's going to do, what's going to be required for the salvation of men, yet men ignored it. And we want to get a hold of this, because we can ignore it today in the same manner. And much of the times in the church we do, we ignore things sometimes of Scripture. There's really God trying to speak, and we're not really looking at some things. But we have it in Matthew 16, verse 21. It says, from that time Jesus began to show to his disciples, from that time, he says, that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. So Jesus is trying to teach his disciples. He's trying to talk to them about this. And then he said, look at this. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. Now here. Now you got to go back and look. Jesus, Peter before called him the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then tells him, no, I'm the Christ, the Son of the living God. I know more about this than you do. Jesus, sit down, I'll tell you how it's going to work. But why did Peter do this? Why? Because the traditions that were taught. The traditions in Israel, the Messiah is going to come, he's going to run our enemies out, he's going to take over and be the king. And see, they threw all the rest of the scriptures out. Those other ones are, no, I don't like them because they don't say things that I really, yet the most important things that are said about the Messiah, they missed. The greatest deliverance that's going to happen to mankind, they're not preaching. They're just preaching, we got to get our physical enemies out. Hey, that's America Day. That's what we call conservatism. We got to get, if it's really good, we'll get all of our enemies out and live in, so we can live in sin some more. And not be bugged. So we have plenty of money and all this stuff. We don't want to be bugged with all this other stuff. We don't see what the great need is. What the great need is. The great need in our nation is Jesus Christ. That's a great need of our nation. Well, so Peter said, and what does do? Jesus turns around and says, but he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan, you are offense to me. For you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. See, he was thinking on... See, people say, well, he said, get behind me, Satan. I've heard preachers, good preachers. I think Brother Hagin even said one time, he wasn't really talking to Peter. I'm sorry. You better read that again. Who did he say it to? He said to Peter, get behind me, Satan, you're an offense. Peter yielded to the devil. Peter wasn't moving in line with the will and purpose of God. He said, get behind me, Satan. See, the devil was trying to use Peter to get Jesus sidetracked. I don't know. I was going to ask the question, did you ever do that? Did you ever try to sidetrack Jesus because you weren't following the word and you wanted to get him over to do what you wanted? I want to ask a raise of hands, okay? I had times that I thought he should do certain things in certain ways. Hallelujah. And I repented. He forgave me for being stupid. Hallelujah. I didn't hear him say, get behind me, Satan, but... But we want to see this. We want to look at it because he's talking in Matthew again in 17, the next verse. Again we find it says, in the next verse, verse 17, it says, now while they were staying in Galilee, Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is about to be betrayed to the hands of men, and they will kill him. And on the third day he will rise up, and they were exceedingly sorrowful. Now one of the things, they didn't like hearing this. Now, Peter knew better to say something dumb again. But we want to find out because they are his disciples, but you need to understand this. Jesus never explained everything to people unless they ask. Go read the parable of the sower. He gave the parable, never explained it. Jesus many times never explained a parable till after people came to him and asked him for it. See, the word says this, if you seek, you find. It don't say if you go to church, it's the job of the minister to tell you everything you need to know. Do you know, that's why people don't learn. People don't try to find out answers. They think they ought to automatically be given. This is why our education put out so many stupid kids. And it ain't the kids' fault. It's education is following a demonic path. It's trying to give everything to people without people even wanting to search for it. They find no value in it. Education requires something of the individual that wants to be educated. We're going to force education. What can we do to make people get kids to learn? Well, you got to teach them the value of education. You can't pat your kid on the back when they want to be stupid. You can't do that. You can't do that to people. The churches have done that. We've made ignoramuses in the church. Trying to give them, figure out how to give them and teach them everything but they don't have to do nothing. Well, I haven't found that yet. I still have got to study. I just can't listen to everybody else teach and just to do what they... You know, I just can't go around mimicking other minister sermons. Because all I'm preaching is what they said. They may believe it. It may work. I don't mean it's going to work for me. You know, mimicking somebody else. You got to find out for yourself. You must find out. And we need to walk in the light of that. Well, they got sorrowful. Listen, one of the things that Mark 9 says this. It says this in Mark, the 9th chapter, verse 31 says, "For he taught his disciples and said to them," now he's teaching them, "the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And after he is killed, he will rise the third day. But they did not understand this saying and were afraid to ask him." See, he's telling them, they don't get it, instead of stop and say, "Hold on, we don't understand this, what?" You know what he'd have done? He'd have taken them to Scripture and showed them Scripture. But no, I'm afraid to ask. Why are you afraid to ask? He'll think I'm stupid. He knows you're stupid. Get over yourself. I ask the Lord questions. I don't ask a question because I know the answer. Ask a question. They didn't. So see, Jesus is trying his best to teach them about this, and they're doing their best not to know. They're doing their best. Well, we don't want him to think that we're dumb. Dear Lord, he knew it. He knew they didn't get it. He knows you don't understand things. He's not against you. He delights in the fact. I found this out. God delights in the fact that Ed asks a lot of questions. He delights in it. He delights in the fact. I ask. I just tell him, say, "Lord, this doesn't make sense to me. They say this or they say that, but somehow I know inside of me something isn't right about that. Tell me. I want to know. What is it? What is it?" See, I want to find out. You know what? Eventually. Sometimes things don't come right away. Sometimes I find out I have to learn other things. I've had that already. I sat in a meeting and got some information about a certain area, and all of a sudden I knew the answer to the question, because as soon as I got that information, I could understand that. See, if your child comes to you and said, "Mommy and Daddy, could you teach me about, geometry?" And say, "Son, you don't add and subtract very well yet. Let's go on to geometry." You don't do that. See, there's things you have to learn. You have to know about yourself. God will teach you if you allow him to. You got to be patient. You know, today we want everything at speed, no, light speed. Right now, I got it now, and I understand it right now. And it doesn't work that way. You're developed. You're developed over time. That's the way it is. And so thank God. Hallelujah. We can learn. Luke 9:44, it says this. "Let these words sink." This is a Jesus. "Let these words sink down into your ears. For the Son of Man is about to be betrayed in the hands of men." He's running at the end. He's tired of this. Hey, you guys, would you let this sink into your ears? The Son of Man is going to be betrayed. That's Luke 9:44. "Let these words sink down into your ears." Hallelujah. Into that hollow spot between them. You see Jesus, how he worked trying to get these guys to understand it. Majority of preachers I ever heard teach on this subject teach that, well, you know, he said that he didn't want them to know this was a hidden mystery. Well, no hidden mystery. He's walking around talking about it. Why would he tell them, "Let this sink into your ears"? Like, get this in your head, stupid. That's what he's saying. You guys ain't been listening. Guilty. See, I wonder if people read the Bible, really. But see, we preach traditions of men. We're preaching traditions of men. I would not know these things if I had not studied and asked God questions about them. Because see, I always wondered, why would you go around talking stuff and nobody understand it? What value is it, man, to faith? You're speaking words we're not supposed to have faith in. Would he do such a thing? No, he's not going to do such a thing. Jesus don't speak idle words. We're saying he's just speaking out of words. He ain't supposed to produce nothing, do nothing. And he's saying he don't want nobody else. He don't want nobody getting faith with him and know nothing. Well, then quit talking. If it ain't for me, don't bother telling me. You know, this is why. You got the Holy Spirit. You got the mind of God, especially. We as Christians are on this side. We're supposed to be the brightest of the bright when it comes to God and revelation of the kingdom. And God's not hiding from us. He's not hiding things from you and me. Hallelujah. He's a wonderful God to revealing things. In Luke, the 18th chapter in verse 31, it says this. "Then he took the 12 aside and said to them, Now he specifically takes them aside. Here we go, guys. Here we go. Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. What the prophet said were going to happen to him, and that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to look at Isaiah, the prophet, what he said. See, he tried to tell them. See, they aren't paying attention to certain things in the prophecies about the Messiah. Yet, if you would have went to the Israel, if you would have went to the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and you would have asked them about scriptures about this, they would have taken you to Isaiah. But see, they aren't the ones they wanted to happen. They're believing for the king. They're not looking. No. Yes. Yeah, that'll happen to him. Yeah. And really, it's just a thing off to the side of their mind. No. He's going to come in. Like they're looking in their day. He's going to deliver us from Rome. And you know what happened to Israel? Rome slaughtered him. 70 AD. Rome slaughtered him. Why? They didn't listen to what the prophet said. They had their own. Talk to God about it. It's just very simple. The millennial reign of Christ, the 1,000 years, is not about the Gentile, it's about Israel. It's going to be the golden years of the empire. Israel's going to be restored. It's going to be all the rest of the enemies are going to be at their feet. That's what it is. It ain't about the Gentiles. Our Gentiles in the earth ain't going to be happy about that. That's why Jesus, just think, the devil is removed and Jesus has to still rule with a rod of iron. I know this stuff ain't preached. It's in the Bible, but it's not preached. We have our ideas what all is going to take place and happen. It'd be good to listen to the Bible. They ain't going to be happy about this stuff. They ain't going to be happy. Because Israel, all that is going to be fulfilled of the prophets concerning Israel as a nation is going to be fulfilled. And all their enemies are going to be under their feet. And for 1,000 years, they're going to rule with Christ, Jesus sitting on the throne. And when the Bible talks about, you know, that the lion laying down with the lamb and all those things, it says on my holy hill. It didn't say in all the world. We preach it all the world. They preach it all the world. They'll read the Bible. Israel's going to be the place. It's going to be in the earth in those times. That's going to be the center of God in the earth. Hallelujah. All that the prophet said about Israel that God would do is going to be restored. And Israel is going to finally go to its place that God called it to. And if people in the world don't come at us, if they don't come every year and they don't come up, they have to go to Israel. Boy, is that going to make a lot of Gentiles mad they're left over. They're going to have to go up to Israel every year, go up to the king. Here's glorified God, and they're going to be rebelling because he said the ones that don't come up, they won't get any rain on their land. Why don't they read those things when they talk about the millennial? They talk the millennial reign. Everybody's going to be, you know, playing ukuleles and sitting in tulips and, you know, doing all that. I don't know where they get their Bibles at. But these are men's doctrines. We preach the traditions of men. Hallelujah. Now, all those things are going to, I ain't worried about none of that. Ed's going to be in his new suit. Hallelujah. I'm going to be glorified. I ain't going to need the stuff of the earth, you know. I ain't got one of these preachers. Well, when we come back, they're going to give us back everything and all our lands and property. Get over yourself, you care. Grow up. Like, I'm going to care about a piece of property on this. When I can go anywhere in the universe, I wanted to in an instant, a second of time. And I just, no. I want that old place back. I just, poor, you know. But see, the traditions of men. When you look at God's word in the light of what men is doing, no telling what your revelation may be. See, God, the Holy Spirit, is the revealer. Not men. Not my lifestyle or my life or whatever's going on. Even not with what I've experienced about God so far. I can misinterpret because God may be operating a certain way, but I can misinterpret what God wants to do because I measured against what he did before. He might want to do something else. People do that all the time. People do that in areas of healing. You know, the Bible talks about laying hands on. Everybody thinks, well, I got to have hands laid on me to be healed. God heal you many ways. You better pay attention to what God's telling you to do. I learned over time that God told me certain things to do concerning healing. When I, you know, you stand, you believe in faith, and I just got a sense I was supposed to do a certain thing. You best go do it. I mean, Jesus turned around. They turn around and give a blind guy to him, and Jesus turns around and puts mud in his eyes, tells him to go to a specific pool. To go wash his eyes out. Now, you think he'd have been healed if he wouldn't have done that? See, you could lay your hand on his head till he rubbed all the hair off of it, and he'd have still been blind and not seen a thing. He could have went down there and said, I can go home. We got a wash basin home. I can clean this stuff off my eyes. See, this led by the Spirit stuff is something people better learn to do. We need to learn. Because see, that leads to the glory. Hallelujah. And that's where you want to get. You want to walk in the glory. Now let's look at Isaiah. We want to go over here to Isaiah 53. And we're going to look down through the scriptures 3 through 5 specifically. And it says, in Isaiah 53 verse 3 says, He is despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows, acquainted with griefs, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Now, understand, the prophet is talking about, he's talking about we didn't esteem him. He's talking about Israel. Israel's going to not esteem Christ. They're not going to do that. Now, I'm reading this first from the New King James. Very similar. The King James is the same. It's the same in what it says. But we're going to look at it in some different light. Then he says this: Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions; he was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Now, when we read that. This is one of the things, because we have a familiar scripture in Matthew which spoke of Jesus in Matthew 8:17, where it says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. But we don't have that Isaiah said that. They don't say his. You go over to Isaiah, and Isaiah talks about he bore our griefs and our sorrows. Well, they're not the right translation. That men trend there again. You got to look. You know, you study. You got to look. Remember, this is men, and they're not perfect. Have you noticed? Have you written down everything perfectly? Have you known everything? No. Men did this. It's one of the things that I found this out about translations in the Bible. Sometimes I looked up that maybe say the person who's doing the translating or persons sometimes translating. What is their background and what's their belief? And I find this out. They come from a background that don't believe in healing, so they translate things differently. Because he's talking about spiritual things. And they're making these statements about this. And we need to get our eyes open. You know, when you look, now we have from Peter, which is the statement which is made, who in 1 Peter 2:24, it says, Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin might live to righteousness, whose stripes you were healed. Now see people, well, he's talking spiritual healing there. I would like you to look in your Bible and find any things that talk about spiritual healing. It's not in Scripture. How would you designate something in the Bible means something when there's no other scripture to give that meaning? How did you come up with that? Spiritual healing. God never spiritually healed anybody. You didn't get spiritually healed when you got saved. You got born again. You became a new creation. The old man's dead. God killed the old man and gave you a new one. He didn't heal you. Healing is about fixing this body, same body. Your body don't change into something else. It's about a repair of the body. That's what it is. It's repairing it. That's why it's called healing. Do you go down to your doctor and say, he does spiritual healing? Now we have people called spiritual healing, you know, people spiritual healing. The church from the standpoint, we deal with spirit healing because we operate healing out of our spirit. But it is healing of the body, not the healing of your spirit. You know, we have people and that stuff that you say, you need, there are people are messed up. What, they're dealing with their soul. Their mind's messed up. There's nothing wrong with your spirit. You got born again. You're a child of God. If you're flaky, it's because of your soul. It's your mind, will, and emotion. You don't have a renewed mind. Now, you may use a term, they say, well, you need healing. No, well, healing, no. You need a renewing of the mind. You know, you can't put a Band-Aid on a dumb brain that has not learned anything. The only way you get it is, if you want to learn and have your mind changed, you've got to renew the way you think. That's what it is. Kenneth Hagin said it, and I agree with him 100%. He said the number one thing is needed in the church world is a renewed mind. That's what we're dealing with. But yet, there's nothing wrong with your spirit. You're born again. How can, Did God give you a second-rate spirit? It needs healed. It's sick. Find that one in Scripture. See, people make statements. We have the traditions of men. Just like in Israel, they made all these things. You had to wash your hands. The disciples are walking through the field, and their hands, and they pick grain off and eat it. And they sinned. They didn't sin. That was there. They said, you had to wash your hands. Certain ways you had to wash pots and kettles. You had to do certain things. If you didn't, you were sinning. That was man's idea. It's not in the law. Go read the law. It's not there. But they made traditions. And the traditions are so important. And we have the traditions today. We took the psychology of the world teaching about inner healing that came from all these weird different religions and stuff of the Far East and everything, and we dragged it into Christianity, and the Spirit-filled people walk around talking, make songs about it. Your inner man don't need no healing. Ain't nothing wrong with it. It's born of God. Did God, you know, so I think, what do people think about what they really, this is why people talk about, they say, well, the old man is rising up. Well, the old man can't, my old man's dead. What I have a problem with is my flesh. Let's deal with what we're in. The flesh is the old part of me that still clings on to me that I got to bring into submission to God. He don't need healed. He needs a change of mind, so you tell him to shut up and know you ain't doing that. Now, if you want to call that healing, go ahead, whatever you want to call it. But that's what it is. It's I get my nine renewed and my flesh says, you know what, I don't want to walk in love with that person. I don't want to do that. And you stop, and your mind says, and you say to him, shut up, sit down, be quiet. We ain't doing that. That's wrong. Where the inner man, who's hooked up with God, gets to raise his voice and you hear him. You don't have a devil sitting on one shoulder and an angel on another. You don't have that. Christians have watched too many cartoons. They believe it's gospel. No, inside of you, you have living in you as a born-again human spirit who is in one with the Holy Ghost inside of you. And on the inside, the Holy Ghost is saying to your human spirit, ah, it's all right that he's doing that. Ain't happening. It's called conscience. Where most people think it's unconscious. No, we can live the life of unconscious. Yes, because we have grace. You can say. Grace allows you to live stupid. And God still loves you. Yes, He loves you. And you may even make it to heaven to get there and Him call you stupid. Understand this. You're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. He's going to judge you according to everything you did in the flesh. Whoa. I'll guarantee you, you'll get called stupid. Might be nice the way he says it, but I'm going to tell you, it's going to be, you're stupid. I've learned, repent of stupid. While you're here. While you're here. So you're either going to do it, you're going to do it here or hear about it there. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. On this side, we can repent of it and it's never mentioned again. Glory to God. This is good. Hallelujah. Our God is wonderful. Knows everything there can be, but can forget your sin and never remember. How do you get around? I can't think of that. I can't imagine a mind like that. I'm sure when you forgive, you just never remember anything. You don't deal on this side with it, do you? No, we ain't got it made over here. No, we don't. Because, our flesh likes to have memory. Did you ever know this? When they made memory foam, they made it like your brain, like your unrenewed mind. It always wants to come back to the same shape it was. Isn't that? See, that's why you continually renew your mind and walk into light, because you got to keep it squashed down. Keep that memory foam down. Put a lot of weight on it. The word is weighty. Hallelujah. It's good preaching. Anyway, I wonder, because what I'm going to do now, I'm just going to read scriptures to you from different translations of this. Some wonderful, because number one, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. You can preach all kind of details about things and stuff concerning healing, but I'm going to tell you, faith comes by hearing the word. That's what it comes by. And if anything, gospel, revival God wants to bring healing to the forefront. And, you know, we need to, as the Lord told me years ago when I was a very young Christian, very young, he spoke to me about these areas concerning healing and things. And he said the more your own personal conviction of truth, he said, well, you preach and talk. He said, it'll grip the hearts of men. See, the more you're, if you can sit down and say, I believe the word, but can you really preach it with conviction that you know that it's going to do it? Because you have to know that. If you ain't sure if you can get it yourself, you're going to have a tough time trying to convince somebody else. This is a lot we're having today. People are trying to convince people of stuff they can't even get to work themselves. And see, I learned years ago, Dr. Kenneth Hagin, when he talked about the revelations, he got revelations from Jesus to give to the church. And the different times that he was called up to heaven or Jesus appeared to him or different things happened, Jesus would give him specific revelations about things. And many times it was things that had been lost to the church. It wasn't that church never knew them, but over time, the traditions of men and everything went on and people... Those wonderful revelations were laid aside. But he told us this, I've heard him say many times, he said, I didn't preach things till I could prove to myself that they worked. I get them in me. And see, it's one of the things, that you can preach with conviction to people. That's what you want to be able to do. You want to preach to people with conviction. It's like salvation. You know, if your salvation is really weak to you, and if people say, well, you know, I don't know, I need to go take classes on how to witness to people. Man, I tell you, get to the point where you're so, my God, I'm so saved, that I know that I know that I know. You go talk to somebody else. I mean, that's what's going to grab the hearts of people. You know, whether it's in God's kingdom or Satan's kingdom, you know the things that, really, you know, Satan anointed people. Like, you take Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler was a convincer. It wasn't nothing natural about it. But he was totally convinced in what he was talking about. And he could grab people. The church today is very weak in being convinced about, we sit down and gripe about what the sinners are doing in the nation and all this stuff, we gripe it about that. We can talk with conviction about them and our need for a new government. I'm sorry, I got a government. I'm in the kingdom of God. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm a citizen. I'm a king and a priest. And we're bowing down to the world and saying, oh, we're going to get something changed. Oh, we can't get Trump in. What are we going to do? All this junk going on. The kings are acting like that. The priests of God are acting like this. Instead of standing up and saying, my God, the devil ain't running over this place because I'm here. Amen. He can't overrun me. I'm here. That's why the church got to leave. Satan can't dominate till the church leaves because we're the ones with the authority. We have authority over him. My, them flaky people doing Washington and all this stuff and all these people following this job. They don't have authority over Ed Gibson. Ed Gibson's a child of God. Hallelujah. God lives in me. They're going to run over me. They've got to run over God. Can they do that? They can today in the church. The church will lay down. You don't have to run over me. I'll lay down. Oh, look what they're doing. Hallelujah. It will come to this, that they'll point and say, look what they're doing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And there's many people will come and vote for the kingdom of God. I want to read you from, this is Young's literal translation. I want to read verses 4 and 5 to you. And they'll have much more meaning to you. And that says, but as we go through, one of the things that is many times in reading, and I like to do that. I like to sit down and read through many kinds of translations because sometimes certain things just click with you hearing it. You know, concerning your vocabulary and how you makes a difference of how you hear things. You know, I found out I went traveling overseas and that stuff at preaching in places to different languages, how they operate and what they learn. And different people. We have people here in America, different cultures and stuff. Certain things said different ways mean different things sometimes to people. And that's why going over some of these things in this way helped. Because what I would preach, like I got over to India and found out, and I asked a question, because talking about the love of God, that Hindi, the Hindi language, they have a number of different languages within India, but the Hindi language doesn't have any word for love. They don't have a word. It has to be an explained thing. Because of meaning. Well, you take it. I wish we had other words that you use in America, because love can mean anything in America. As we use this word, love, And you know, we talk about somebody having sex as being love. My God, dogs have sex and it ain't got nothing to do with love. And the majority of Americans having sex ain't got a darn thing to do with love. It's all about lust. Let's get real. Let's play it where it's at, you know. Ain't got a thing in the world to do with love. When somebody says to me they love you, I'm wondering, what are they talking about? Today, you don't know. You might want to watch yourself. Say, I love you. What? God loves you. Well, what could it mean to people? See, we got this stuff. This is why things have to be explained, what we're talking about. See, we have today because God loves you. You can live like hell, do whatever you want. You're going to end up in heaven. That is the most perverted thing. It says, and Christians are saying that stuff because they only know the world's love. That's all they know. And they equate just like the world does about love. I'm just going to be honest. The average Christians get married really don't love each other. They found a lot of things they like about the person. And you know what? The love stuff will show up when you get married because that's when you're going to have to walk in it. When they don't do all those cute things. And then you're going to have to live with this thing. Did you love them or not? Love don't show up in a marriage till you're in it up to your neck. You believe that other rotten stuff they say? I mean, there's a lot of liars even in Christianity out here. Love is what you, really is what you're walking in when everything ain't running the right way. You walk in love.
Amen.
Hey, when everything's going smooth, I don't think 2 seconds about love. It's all running smooth. Wanda and I are getting along. Till one day she whacks me. I say, okay, now I got to find out what's happened here. Something went wrong. I missed it somewhere. She doesn't let me know. But Ed, are you going to retaliate? Are you going to shut up? Say, yes, ma'am. You going to walk in love? We find out. I never did counseling for people that were walking in love. I've done ones that were walking in love with each other. Well, come on, let's be real. Don't try to fake it, brush it over, and oh, my feelings got hurt. Well, that's why you don't walk in love. See, I have to tell my feelings, shut up, Ed. Your feelings don't matter in this thing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We, you know, Wanda and I decide to love each other at our worst. Don't take a bit of nothing at your best for somebody to love you. Amen. But at your worst, or some people at their best are hard to love. You ever been there? But we as Christians, don't say, there's nothing wrong with you that love makes everything run real smooth and nice. No, it don't. The way it makes things, because there's ripples in the water, and you decide to calm the sea by walking in love.
Amen.
Say, no, I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to make some more waves. I'm getting on the board and jumping in. I'm going to make a splash. She thought she had a splash. Wait till you see mine. I know, you guys are laughing because this stupid guy, he does say, wow, but you've never done that. You never got up on the high board and jumped off. I know, you never did that. That was Ed. So what we did is we removed the high board. We don't have one anymore. I broke it. Hallelujah. Praise God. So let's listen to scriptures. Now, Young's little translation says this, surely our sicknesses he hath borne, and our pains he hath carried from them. Now, in opening this, actually, this is literally in Hebrew what it says. It doesn't say griefs and that stuff like that. Those aren't the words used. If you look out and follow the Hebrew words that are said here, out through where they're translating the rest of the Old Testament, they don't talk of it as griefs and stuff. See, this is why people, if they didn't say this, and if this is what they actually said was griefs and pains, then the New Testament is misquoting. But it's not. It's not misquoting. What's he talking about here? About Jesus, what Jesus did. Here he says, surely our sicknesses he hath borne, and our pains he hath carried them, and we have esteemed him, plagued, smitten of God and afflicted. And he is pierced for our transgression. He's bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is on him. And by his bruises, there is healing for us. Now, I want to read some more of them here. Now, the World English Bible says this: surely he has borne our sicknesses and carried our suffering, yet we considered him plagued, struck by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought our peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. See, I want you to see something. See, this is why you've got to get out of regular teaching in the Bible. When Jesus was taken and beaten and stuff, you have never seen on any movie or any place what really happened to Jesus. You see this nice, clean version because we can't upset Americans. The prophets spoke about Jesus, what was going to happen in his beatings. It tells us by the prophets, it talks about him beaten, his head was beaten with a rod. It talks about he was beaten so badly, it says by the prophets, that he wasn't going to look like a man. We have this nice, clean version of this guy, and then we have him carrying a cross, and he has a garment on, and there's a few blood stripes on the back of the garment, and he's carrying this cross. Totally stupid. It ain't all what happened. Jesus, you understand, when Jesus took upon man's sin, and this is the whole thing of sin, he took upon himself, the manifestation of his beating was a manifestation of what was happening to him. When Jesus died for your sins, he didn't die. See, sickness, disease, and all that came to man. Man had none of that to man's sin. Those things came. Well, this is beyond my measure to think this way. That God would forgive you of your sin, but leave you holding the bag of all the manifestations. You're going to have the manifestations. If Jesus, what the Bible tells me, released me from prison, if he did, well, that'd have to be a lie. That's like taking a man and he goes and he gets pardoned by the president, but he got to stay in jail. Well, that wasn't a pardon, was it? Well, the fact that the manifestations of what sickness did to man, if we still have to put up with it now, the whole thing's a lie. I forgive you, but you're still going to put up with all the punishment. I can't see how people can preach it. I don't see, we preach, that's why when you hear this, they use the term lots of times, spiritual, it's really a demonic way of thinking. They take it. Why? Because they look in the natural at all the sickness and disease. They measure what they see in the natural, whether God did it or not. I can't look in the natural and tell if God did it. Can the sinner look out here at the rest? If the sinner looks across America and says, is this God's work today? Well, then I stay the way that I am. See, we preach it. It doesn't. If God says to me, you know, I'm going to remove the nature of sin to you. Your nature that was inside of you that caused you all your trouble and pain, but now you're still going to have to live in all the trouble and pain. Hey, well, don't bother. Forgive me. Who cares? It's of no benefit for me here. Don't ask me to live for you here. There's no benefit to it. Why would I want to live for you? There's no benefit to it. It's crazy. I did all these wonderful things to you so you could just live a suffering life. I'll tell you. What's the purpose of communion? What is the purpose of these things? What are they if we're still in the same state? But see, that's what's preached today. We're still in the same. You know what? God forgave you, but you're still just going to sin. Sin's going to rule over you. Sin's going to dominate you. And I'm going to tell you what. You may not realize how much of that may be in your thinking about, because it's been said so much. We think it's the norm to sin. The norm to miss it. It is not the norm for a Christian to sin. I've heard ministers say, well, I sin every day. Well, man, I'm staying away with you. It ain't getting your church. I have enough trouble in my life getting around a minister who can't get it right one day in a row. Dear God. I sin every day? I know they're stupid when they're saying it. Sin's based in knowledge, but they believe this. If I do something wrong, they ask this, God, forgive me for the things that I did that I didn't know that I did. Well, you can't ask forgiveness for what you don't know what you did. I mean, I don't know, this is a stupid life. If you didn't know you missed it, you couldn't ask forgiveness for it. What if I walked up to you, if I did something to you, I want you to ask me to forgive you. I can just see the person look at your face. Walk up to a stranger and do that sometime. Say, I'm a Christian. I'd like you to forgive me for things I might have done to you that I don't know that I did. And the guy said, boy, I really want to be a Christian. Boy, these guys are out there. When you don't have knowledge, see, the law was the knowledge of sin. You know, God never held the Gentiles to the standard that he held the Jew, because the law was given to the Jew, it says. It was given to Israel. It wasn't given to the world. He handed this to them. That's why when the heathen touched the ark, they didn't die. But a Jewish priest touched the ark, who knew better, was told not to do it. Why? He had the law. He knew what he wasn't supposed to do. He didn't. It killed him. God didn't hold him to the standard. He never held him to that standard. God didn't hold Cain to the standard of putting him to death for killing somebody. Why? The law wasn't given. There was no law saying you're put to death if you kill somebody. See, the church knows very little about things. We're preaching childish stuff off of men's ideas. God's righteous. He don't judge people because of what somebody else knows, what somebody else thinks. He don't do that. He'll judge you in line of what you know and what you understand, what you have knowledge of, not what you don't have knowledge of. Be stupid for me to expect something out of you. You have never, like, you know, it's expecting somebody to do something they've never been trained to do. I mean, I'd be stupid. God's not stupid. But we have this stuff preached, and what it does, it rips the scripture apart and it takes the life out of it. It takes the glory out of it. Hallelujah. Why would God want to heal everybody? And why would you? Well, why would Jesus? Why did Jesus go to his covenant people? And man, he looked at people, you know, he needed to go rest. And he said to the disciples, we need to go rest. But he saw the crowds and he was moved with compassion and went and healed. Those people who would deny him, you think he didn't know they weren't going to follow him? Do you think he didn't know? So he said, I go out there, that Bob. That's out of here, guys. Had compassion on him. Why? He said they were sheep without shepherd. They weren't untaught people. Untaught. Their leaders ain't teaching them. They aren't showing them. He didn't hold against them, but they didn't know. Hallelujah. You need to learn about yourself in that way. You know, don't look around to try to figure out mistakes. If you made a mistake, you know it. You don't have to. You don't have to sit down. Religion will teach you go dig a hole somewhere, get in it, and just try to figure out night and day where I could have missed it, or where I sinned, or where I did something. That's one thing as I learned. When I sin, I know it. I don't need to have to try to dig something up. You know when you're doing wrong. Hallelujah. So enjoy it. Now I want to read you. Here's a real good translation. Now this is the Amplified and the Classified, the classic job. Now Isaiah 4 and 5, it says, surely he has borne our griefs, sicknesses, weakness, and distresses, and carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God, as if with leprosy. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement, the needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him. And with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. See, I like reading through these things. Like, I will sit down. See, if something comes and attacked me, I sit like to sit down and read through these things. You know, read them in different things. Sit there and read them and meditate on them. Hallelujah. See, Jesus did it. See, we look at this and we say, yeah, well, you know, they'll go back and preach and say, see, here about our salvation and forgiveness of sin, and they leave healing out of it. But healing is all over it. You cannot separate the two. You can't separate them. To separate them is really lie about the Word of God, what it's saying. That's why when the Lord Jesus told Kenneth Hagin, he said, the church, he said, the laying on of hands in his name, and he said, the gifts and manifestations of healing, he said, they're not for the church. He said, the church should walk in healing through the communion table. Why? The body. What did he do to his body? His body was a manifestation of what sin does to a person. Well, if sin is removed, then healing comes. See, that's not preaching. Sin removed off of man, what God gave is healing. See, healing to you is supposed to be the norm, not something we're trying to figure out. It's like salvation. What did you have to do to try to get salvation? Did you have some great feats you had to do or some... See, we preach salvation. Oh, you can come and get salvation. This is why it's easy to get healed. Jesus asked this question. When they let a guy down the roof and he forgave sins. Jesus asked the question, which the church today has not paid a bit of attention to it. He asked this question because they got upset. Who can forgive sins but God? And he said this, what's the easiest to do? Forgive sin? Or he stuck it to God and said, rise up, take your bed and walk. Jesus said there's no difference between the forgiveness of sin and healing. That's what he just got done saying. But see, tradition has taken that out of the Bible. It's just something we read. People say, I read the Bible through the Bible every year. I don't care. How much revelation do you get? When you're done with the Bible every year and you believe the same things you believed before, you don't bother reading it next year. You ain't going to get nothing out of it. I can't look in the Bible without seeing things differently. I say, I look at them and I said, my words, I never saw that before. See, that's growing, that's learning. You know, if you went through college and you knew no more than you did when you were in high school, you done wasted your money. And today you'll probably know less. There's colleges that'll take everything out of you, except your wallet. They'll keep that one. There are. See, an education. But see, we can't, don't strip the good out of it. See, we should always be progressing in our learning and that stuff. But see, people keep preaching traditions. Now, the Anchor translation says this, but it was our diseases that he bore, our pains that he carried, while we counted him as one stricken, torched by God with affliction. He was wounded for our rebellions, crushed for our transgressions. The chastisement that reconciled us fell on him, and we were healed by his bruises. I love the different way they say them. You know, when I read through these and I get down through, the Bible in basic English says, but it was our pain he took, and our diseases were put on him, while to us he seemed as one diseased, of whom God's punishment had come. But it was for our sins he was wounded, and for our evil doings he was crushed. He took the punishment by which we have peace, and by his wounds we are made well. You see, you need to, this is the whole thing. You can't separate Jesus dying for your sin and healing not coming alone. It has the same thing. It's in it. It's what it is. We say, well, Jesus bore my sin. Well, if he bore my sin, and it says here he bore our sickness and disease, well, then would you say, well, he didn't bear my sins. He didn't bear my sickness. See, we believe healing isn't for today. We're saying he didn't bear them. Well, he had to. See, you need to become convinced that God wants you well. See, what we're doing here is this, I'm trying to teach you divine healing as the norm, not trying to get healed. To start thinking of healing on the level of born again. Amen. It is easy. People say, Jesus said, what's easier, the forgiveness of sin or healing? Now, I taught the life of Christ in Bible school for about 4 years. And I would always have the question in there that 99% of students always failed. I talked about it even in class. I would take that instant with Jesus and I would say, you know, first I'd do it in class and I'd say, what's easiest to get, be saved or healed? After talking about it, and majority, oh, it's easier to get saved, it's harder to get. I said, what did Jesus say? I mean, the classes would do it every time. Then I'd talk to them about it and put it in the exam, and they would almost all miss it. It is so drilled into Christians that healing is something more difficult. This is why, I'm going to tell you, some of you, that's why you have a hard time about healing. Because you have been put in that so much of it drilled into you that healing is something we are trying to get. Salvation. When Jesus got salvation for all men, he got healing for all men too. This isn't a sideline. When the church preaches this, well, I've heard ministers say this. This is not as important as being born again. I'm sorry. God didn't put it in something different. Man did that. And therefore, people live on a lower level because they're taught they're on a lower level. They're taught you're trying to get something from God as if he hasn't. People say, I'm trying to get healing from God. I'm sorry. I don't try to get salvation from God. I received the salvation he gave. He already died for my sin. When I come to him for me to confess my sin to him, well, what point is that? He already died for it all. What I'm supposed to do is receive the forgiveness. Receiving the forgiveness is receiving Christ. That's when I get saved. He ain't going to forgive my sin then. My sin was forgiven 2,000 years ago. We can tell people, Jesus, God and man are not against each other anymore. That's what our gospel is, what Paul talked about. We're supposed to tell, there's no enmity. In other words, God's not an enemy with anybody anymore. He already reconciled man to himself. No, we're trying to get man. And it says this, reconcile yourself to God. God was already reconciled to me, with me from the time I was born till I reached 30 years old and accepted. I wasn't trying to get God to reconcile to me. He had already done it. What I had to do is reconcile myself to God. And I did that through believing on His Son. And the night that I accepted Him, healing was just as much mine as my salvation was mine. I didn't know about that right away. I found out about it. But generally, people don't preach it. It's not preached. You have been preached. For how many of you have sat in church for years before you came to the Spirit-filled life? And all you have heard was all those messages and all those messages preached. Don't tell me that that don't get into your thinking. You have to go, because that stuff gets there. It gets deep-seated in you. And you got to do this. You got to come to this place. I will overcome this. The Word of God. If I will get the Word of God and start putting to me, it'll overcome that. If you don't throw that out, you can't mix that with the Word, because what you'll have is tainted. It's like water. You can't. You have dirty water and you have clean water, and you mix them together, you don't get clean water. The Christians just try to add to. There's things you got to throw out. See, I had to throw out a lot of the preachers. They had things that when I was a kid were good, they were right, but there was things that was junk, and you have to throw the junk out and say, hey, that ain't the way it is. The Bible says this. People don't meditate and get in the Word long enough to throw stuff out. So you get down to the point. And I learned this, listen to other people over the years of, you know, finding out over the years is why some places that they struggled in different things. Because there were certain things that they were taught they never got out of their life, and it hindered them in areas. And so we need to get past these hindrances. The Bible in basic English says, but it was our pain He took and our disease were put on Him, while to us He seemed one diseased of whom God punishment had come. But it was for our sins He was bruised, He was wounded, and for our evil doings He was crushed. He took the punishment by which we have peace, and by His wounds we are made well. We need to see this. You see what happened? The taking away of sin brought healing to man. The removal of sin brings healing. Healing is the norm for the body. That's why we partake of the body. We're partaking of the One. He took the punishment, so I don't. Sickness and disease is a punishment and a judgment for sin. To accept sickness and disease is all right is to really say, hey, it's okay to be under the curse. It's all right. Because that's what it is, a curse. Don't get into condemnation. You may have to learn some things to get some things off of you. But learn what the truth, take a true thought. Don't just keep setting aside. I've heard preachers say this. He got cancer, and he was under treatment stuff, but he was preaching, and he said, well, just accept the fact everybody's going to get cancer. That's a big name preacher. Loads of people listen to him. He's very popular. Hey, you don't have to advertise it to people, stupid. You know, you get people believing for cancer. I'm just going to, they'll start talking it. They'll start saying it. That these people don't understand what voice and saying things about. They have no clue. I just heard a minister say this concerning the creation of the world. He said, God created things by His idea, and then He willed it into being. No, He didn't. He spoke it into being. And I thought, and then He went on to try to talk about faith. I thought, you don't know a thing about faith. You don't know a thing about it. See, out here there's so much stuff taught. It's all over there. No wonder people, you got to get yourself focused. Amen. You better get yourself focused. People are saying things and doing things out here that I marvel at, that years ago they didn't talk this stupid stuff when they preached. But now what? They become part of the world. They have accepted what's going on in the world, and we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Look, God's not condemning you today. He's trying to get you in faith. He wants you to meditate till this becomes so real in you that sickness leaves your body. It becomes so real in you. You know, and see, that's the nature. You're not trying to push it out. You know, the more I meditated and got over in my salvation, the more I lived my salvation. It was a natural thing. It wasn't, I'm trying to force myself to be a Christian and live like a Christian. I'm not doing that. Amen. Gaining knowledge just allows you to work. And it's like anything. You learn a trade or something. The more you work in it, it's natural. You get better at it. I mean, that's just it. We're not trying to force it. And that's with this. The more this gets into you, the more sickness has a hard time staying. The more life is working in you. Folks, this word, as the Bible says, God's medicine. If you're taking this in today, you're taking medicine. You know, don't sit there and say, well, I'm going to try to believe this. Why would you? What? You have to try, struggle to believe the word of God's true? Maybe you ought to get saved. Wouldn't be so hard. I don't have to struggle. This is the truth. It isn't, I can't look at my body and say, well, my body, you know, well, Lord, look at this. Well, that. No, my body, I want to line up with the word. I'm not trying to get the word to line up with its body. Dear Lord. But this is what people are doing. People are trying to get the word to line up with them. You got to stop that. The word don't line up with you. You line up with the word. That's where the success is. You take time and meditation until it becomes... If God told Joshua his success lied in the fact that he would meditate day and night in the Word. In other words, God's Word would be the meditation of his life. Joshua didn't stay in his tent all day and just meditate on the Word, never come out of it and do nothing. He did all kinds of stuff. But his meditation and what he did in life was on a meditation about what the Word said. When he made decisions, he made them based on what the Word said, not on what everybody else was doing. And, well, you know, I know this one preacher and he preaches healing and he got sick. What would you just did is you open the door for you to the devil to come kill you, because and he probably will. He'll probably bring something on you because you just opened the door looking at somebody else and said, oh, the word says this. I don't care what somebody else is doing and what they got.
Amen.
God ain't going to judge me by what you did. He going to judge me by what I did.
Amen.
Don't you go pointing around at somebody else because they're a nincompoop, because everybody can fit that category somewhere. Hallelujah. Measure yourself against the Word. See, you don't know where that person's standing in faith at all or not. You don't know. They might be standing right in faith. They're going through a battle. But when yours comes along and you measured whether God wanted to heal based on what was happening to him, you're done. You're going to be one of those people come running around asking people to pray for you, waste their time praying for you. You don't do that. Hallelujah. I feel bad for people being sick, and no matter what they do. I tell you what, I don't like sickness. I hate it. And I'm going to tell you, if you don't like sickness, you're going to have always trouble with healing. You've got to get to the point where you hate sickness. I hate sickness. I don't like to be sick. If you don't mind being sick, something wrong with your brain. And it is. Something wrong with your brain. See, the Word will take the crazy out of you. The Word will take you crazy. This is what it is. The Word does this. The Word first brings hope. See, many people are trying to come to faith with no hope. They don't have hope. They have no hope of being healed. First of all, you got to get the hope. All of a sudden, you start getting a glimmer of light. Say, man, God wants me well. And you keep messing around with the Word. After a while, it's like, hey, this thing belongs to me. I'm taking it. Hallelujah. But see, till you get hope, there's too many people today, and even in church, we're hopeless. They have esteemed the words of doctors. Look, the doctors are only telling you naturally what they know. That's what they're doing. They ain't God. And I found out lots of times they don't know much. We've set them on pedestals and made them things. We did that. We can't criticize them. We made them. We put them on this pedestal. We expected them to be overcome all the sin that we go through and give us something to take care of all the sin. Sickness is a manifestation of sin. That's what it is. It's in the earth, roaming in the earth. Because it's here because of that. And the doctors can't take care of it. There's no pills to get rid of. There ain't enough pills to take that can overcome sickness and disease in the earth. It's not ever going to happen. Because sin is where its nature come from. But you and I can resist it, keep it from us, through faith in the Word of God. When we expect the doctors to take care of everything, that's an unrighteous act. We're expecting of them to do what cannot be done. Doctors ain't going to get rid of all sickness and death. They can't. It's an impossibility. Man would have to start, people start living righteous, follow Jesus, walk with God. They're not going to, and they're going to, and just like Christians, well, yeah, you ever, all of us just sin. Well, expect it to stay around then. Say, no, I don't want to sin. Why? Because there's payments, things that come with sin. I don't want. There's things. So the Lord told me this concerning sickness and disease. He said that dealing in the areas of sickness and disease, he said this. He said, many of people, my people, it isn't a matter they need more wealth. They need less sickness and disease. He said, many of my people, he said, are poor because, he said, sickness and disease eats up their life. They miss work. They can't get to work and stuff and things. And they're spending money on doctors and doing all that kind of. And he asked me this question. He said, how much wealth do you think your nation would have? He said, if everybody was well. You even think about that. Paying off the national debt wouldn't be a hard thing. Wouldn't be. Why? We don't need no more money. It's like this. You go down, they call the poor neighborhood down there, and they say the reason why they're poor, they don't have money. You go down there, they're all using drugs. You can't use drugs and be poor. It costs a lot of money to use drugs. There's money, but it's what it's used for. They use all their money, all their time generated to get enough money to get the drug. It's not a money. It's not a money problem. It's a drug problem. How could it be a money problem? If it was a money, if it was some kind of cheap way of living, how come these drug dealers are so darn rich? How come these guys down in Mexico will do all kind of things? They will lose enormous shipments just that don't matter, just to try to get that stuff here. Why? There's so much money in it. But why? The stupid mind of the church has passed on to the world. We don't think 2 seconds about it. We just do what the world has done. Oh yeah, that poor person's hurting, and why? And thinking, we're just going to help them. Now we're going to give them food. They can use all their money for the drugs. We're going to, instead of saying, hey, hold it. What is the source of this problem? It's not money. Just do this. One day, just go say, maybe like here in Lebanon, go down and, like say on Neiman Street there, on Neiman Street they got a Turkey Hill. And you see people come in down there, sometimes it just amazes me. People drive up in a car that they need replaced. Poor person, I look at them, they drive up in a car. But they'll walk inside that place, and they'll buy a couple packs of cigarettes for $20. And about 10 lottery tickets. Now, number one, you can afford a car if you can smoke. I mean, think about it. You smoke a pack a day. And if you're smoking, you know, the better stuff, and it seems the poorer they get, the more they want the better stuff. You know, they'll pay about 10 bucks for a pack of cigarettes. I see people come in and buy a car. You know, you can go buy a car and make a payment for what you're smoking for. So don't tell me about money things. This isn't a money problem.
Amen. Preach.
It is. I mean, think about it. I quit smoking. I was a two-pack a man day. And I quit smoking before I was a Christian. I quit smoking because cigarettes went into machines up to 60 cents a pack. And I said, I ain't paying no 60 cents a pack. And I quit and never smoked another cigarette again. To me, it's beyond my mind to think of somebody walk in and pay that. I'm going to tell you what. You know, that's as much addiction as heroin is. You're as bound as it is. Now, I'm not making fun of people. People bound in stuff, I know what it is. I know it's being an alcoholic. I know what things are to be bound. But this is one thing. When you're bound, you're not reasonable. You ain't got nothing good going on in your head. I know. Mine didn't. You have people. I had my reasons. Why? See, I had my reasons. Yeah, this is down. This is this, and this is that. And I had all my things lined up, all my ducks in a row. They were all wrong, and I didn't listen to nobody that was free, because they were just criticizing me.
Amen.
And you think, oh, I have the same thing with Christians. They get over and have a problem. You give them all the right answers, and you know if they listen to them, no, but you just don't. They'll say to me, you just don't understand. And this is what I say back to them. Then why did you come to me to bother me if you knew what was to do and what was working? Quit, and I just tell them, quit wasting my time. This is the end of the conversation. If I don't understand. No, you wanted me to agree with your stupidity. Say, look, I was dumb one time. You can't pull that one on me. I know about dummies. I was one of them.
Amen.
That's right. I know stupid. I did enough of it. You ain't pulling nothing on me. I was the head of the class. I graduated with honors. Hallelujah. It's good preaching though, isn't it? Hallelujah. There's a Bible in Living English. I want to read this to you. It says, but in fact, it was our sickness that he was carrying. Our pains he was loaded with. Hallelujah, he was loaded with. He says, while we all the time thought he was a smitten one, struck by God and disciplined. But it was being stabbed. He was being stabbed by our crimes, felled by our guilt. The chastisement to give us soundness came on him. And by his stripes, we got healing. The good news translation says, but in fact, it was our sickness he was carrying, our pains he was loaded with. While we all the time thought he was smitten one, struck by God and disciplined. Now, if you remember, if you read, the accounts in the Bible, when he was, didn't they mock him? They mocked him as if he was on the cross because he was evil. That's what they did. You see, the church missed the whole thing of what God was doing at that cross. At that cross, it wasn't until Jesus got to the cross where the sin of man was laid on him. That's when Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was the first that Jesus was forsaken by God because now he became a sinner. He was no longer in fellowship with God. He became a sinner. Like I'm Christian, I have heard many ministers. They don't believe Jesus went to hell. They believe he went to the place of comfort. It's really weird. If he don't go to hell, you will. Jesus paid the price. I can imagine if we would see today, if we could have a video of what Jesus really went through in his beatings and stuff, that was symbolic of what was going to happen spiritually to him. That's symbolic of it. But you need to understand, that wasn't even a good symbol of what was going to take place when he went into the region of the dam. He was for 3 days and three nights going to take the entire punishment of all humanity. And it wasn't the devil, it wasn't down there like, they had that, thing where Jesus was sword fighting with the devil. He wasn't sword fighting with the devil. The unbeliever has the wrath of God. The wrath of God was poured out on him because that's what happens to you when you, if you don't accept Christ, the wrath of God's poured out on you. He had to take the wrath of God or it'll be poured out on you anyhow. And that's what we tell men. See, we need to tell men this. Here's the love of God. God loves you so much, you deserve to have his full wrath poured out on you. And the reason he sent Jesus is so he don't have to do that. That he could bless you instead of giving you wrath. We've made people down the devil to the bad guy. In the lake of fire, the devil ain't going to be tormenting anybody. He's going to be the tormented one. We need to tell people the truth. The wrath of God. You don't want to face the wrath of God. Amen. Jesus. God in the flesh. Look at him in the garden to have to face what he's going to face. He knows he's going to, his Father, God loved it in obedience that Jesus was willing to take the wrath of God. That word wrath there means uncontrolled anger. He took God's uncontrolled anger so man doesn't have to. See, I've always been the thing. It's the worst thing when a sinner dies and goes to hell and finds out God forgave him. See, people say, if people go to heaven because of forgiveness of sin, their sins weren't forgiven? Jesus didn't take cares? No, they didn't receive Christ. When I received Christ, judgment was taken from me. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! The judgment, the wrath of God for eternity. That's what the lake of fire is. The lake of fire is the place for the wrath of God on man for eternity. But God didn't want you there. God didn't want you. He sent his Son and Jesus. Blows my mind, was willing to come and do that. God the Son was willing to step out of heaven. Was willing to step out. Say, look, I'll get down there. I want to face the full wrath of all humanity so they don't have to face it. Now that's love. Man, I'm going to tell you, that takes love. See, there's real bad, and I'm going to go take all the bad. See, what the love of God is about? That's the love of God. It isn't about everything being rosy. That was the love of God. We should have such a high appreciation of Jesus Christ. And then to turn around and deny healing and act like it's just some side on, to me, is a slap in his face. Why did he put up with all that in the flesh, and we still have to put up with all that in the flesh? What was it about? Did he waste his time on Ed? I say not.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'll not shame him like that.
Amen.
He deserves honor.
Hallelujah.
If I don't get to live to all that honor, it's my fault. It ain't because he didn't do it for me. I ain't going to make excuses because something didn't work for me. Because he worked it all for me. Hallelujah. And he did it for you too. Hallelujah. I'm just going to read a couple more and we're going to take communion, because to take communion today, we're emphasizing healing. See, God wants you well so you carry well to others. Hallelujah. The Message Bible says this. He said, "And yet it is now clear that he whom we regarded as the especial object of Jehovah's righteous wrath was afflicted that we might thereby be delivered from pain and disease." The repeated disasters that fell upon him were the consequences not of his, but of ours. Crimes. Peace came to us instead of judgment because of our punishment fell upon him. That's a good one. I like that. Hallelujah. That's a good read. Unlock Dynamic Bible says, "But he will be punished for the sicknesses within our lives. He will endure great pain for us. But we will think that he is being punished by God, afflicted by his own sins. But people will pierce him through and kill him because of the evil things that we did. They will wound him because of our sins. They will beat him in order that the things may go well with us. Because they will whip him, we will be healed." This is why the Lord gave the bread as his body. We're taking that. We're one with his body in death. We're one with him. We're one with that. When you receive Christ, you're with one with his death, burial, and resurrection. You're one with it. Hallelujah. He shed his blood as if you died for your sin. It's if you were raised for death. But you got it all. But we get it by faith, by receiving him. Say, well, how does that work? I don't know. Don't care. The Bible says it's so. I'm going to believe it. Hallelujah. And by doing that, I got to change life. I got to change life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. A life that I never had before. I had a life of bondage. I could not conceive myself not being a drunk. I couldn't see myself. I was bound. I had to drink. Because I tell you what. Why? Because I was in pain because of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And you drink. I drank. I was happy. I needed enough. See, people today, I see Christians that they need stuff to keep happy because they're trying to stay happy. They're trying to do that. I thank God that somebody preached me a message of deliverance where I'm not trying. I'm not trying to get, hey, Jesus gave me peace. I'm not trying to get it.
Amen.
He gave it to me. Hallelujah. My inner man is in no struggle with God whatsoever. We're on the same team. We're such a close team that me and the Holy Ghost live together. How about you?
Hallelujah.
See, if you're so bad and ugly, I'm sure he'd move out. But Jesus said, "I'll never leave you for nor forsake you." You think he didn't know that you were going to be a knucklehead one day? And he said, "When that day comes, I'm out of it. I'm out of here. No, I'm staying with you. I'm going to help you through the dump. I'll get you. You fall down, I'll pick you up.
Hallelujah.
You get sick, I'll heal you." That's Jesus.
Hallelujah.
That's the love of God.
Yep.
Hallelujah. I know it's true because of what he's done for me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And there's one thing I learned a long time ago. Ed ain't special. Now, I've heard they call special Ed, but it wasn't me. Hallelujah. You need to get this in yourself. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Would somebody that did something so tremendous, you thinking because you messed up, he would try to go against you? That's the dumbest thing in the world. This is what he did when everybody was against him. this is what he did when all were against him. Hallelujah. Will he bring glory? He sure will. Hallelujah. See, I want you, you know, meditate on these things. Look things up and study them and meditate on it till it gets into you that it becomes, you know, take God. That's one thing as it is. You know, Wanda got a diagnosis and they found a cancerous in her breast. And this thing that I have a book has all these. It was by Dr. Chip. It's hard to pronounce his last name. It's one of those little bayou names down in Louisiana. But anyhow, he's not a doctor of theology. Actually, he was a doctor. He worked for NASA. He was one of the space shuttles. He was responsible for all the systems on board to make sure his team had to make sure all the systems were working properly on. That's what he did. I said, man, a huge job. My word, can you imagine all the systems on those things? And he was responsible for that thing as long as they all had to be working right. And he did those things. But he's a pastor now. He put together, I have a book of his, he put together, and it's all the healing, different places in the healing scriptures in the Bible. And there's like 145 different translations that he used. And when he would put ones together, he'd put together ones that really said it differently. You know, so you didn't have each verse have that many. But what's done, it's awesome. So I went, took that. I said, Wanda, when she had that, I said, here. You go over here and you get healing scriptures and you just sit down and just read them through there. And she started doing this. She did that and she came out to me and she said, man, she said, is that good? See, because what? It brings life to you. This is what most people do. They get some bad diagnosis. The first thing they do is they're to call and trying to get people to pray for them while they talk to them about the bad diagnosis. That's what's on their heart, their bad diagnosis. They get talking. They're over in your mind. See, the first thing you know is you want to get off that stuff. That's the thing. You want to get that out of your mind. That's what I do with her. You get over here and look at this. This will get it off your mind.
Amen.
So I have it. It's also his book. Is also, you get the book and you can also get for on your computer, and so it's on your computer too. I like it on a computer because I can sit down, type in, and search different scriptures out of it and go right to it. So what I did is I didn't just tell her to do that. I did that. Mm-hmm. See, if you got a partner, you ought to be, because you're no aid to them if you're not. Mm-hmm. If you ain't on top of it, you ain't no aid to them.
Amen.
You know? You want to take care of them? Ain't taking care. You know, it's nice you want to help them do stuff, but if you ain't got your level of faith up, you ain't much help. That's what you want to do. See, so as soon as Wanda got that thing, I started meditating. I didn't have no breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. And it's all taken care of.
Praise the
Lord. Hallelujah. But see, you get in, you get into it right away. You get it. So what we both did, we both started taking medicine. See, we want to be in the same level, in the same place.
Amen.
See, when she first had a diagnosis, it really shocked her. But I'll tell you, after she got into the scripture, it was no shock no more. No,
amen.
No. Because now she got it. Now she got it. See, we weren't waiting for the next thing the doctor would do in diagnosis to find out if we got it.
Amen.
This is where people miss it. They're just waiting to hear what the doctor's going to say now. Well, what if the doctor say you're worse? Well, you're going down the tubes. That's just it. You don't wait. I go to the doctor. I've told people this all the time. So you go in and you have an operation or you have some kind of thing done. When you're done and you come out, if you're not in faith, and what are you going to do when the doctor says to you, even if you're in, you have yourself in faith, what do you say when the doctor comes out and say, well, it didn't work like we thought it would? Well, you have a choice. You're going to have that day, you're going to have what I call is the spy that has come out of the land. And he's going to tell you, your problem is too big. Now, you have a choice right there what you're going to do. It ain't about don't blame him and blame somebody else. Now it's a choice what you believe. Your believing is up to you, not to somebody else. If you don't believe right, that's your problem.
Mm-hmm.
You have that choice. And see, I learned one time, hey, if they say, well, it ain't working, I just smile and tell them, well, the words are working.
Amen.
The words are working.
Hallelujah.
I was just thinking, thank you for what you did, what you can do. Hallelujah. I'm grateful for what you could do. That's just fine. But see, I know the guy can take care of it.
Amen.
See, the word don't change. What we do is say, see, you have to learn. If you can't take bad reports, you need to sit down and read about the children of Israel and find out what kind of person you are. If you can't take bad reports, you got a problem. You ain't going to the land. You can't go to the land of healing believing the bad reports. You learn that. You got to learn that about yourself. Learn that about yourself. Bad report comes, hey, this ain't the last word said on this deal. If there's going to be any last words, it'll be mine. And I'm going to be saying what God said.
Amen.
This is the report. Yeah, that song, whose report will you believe? And I'll believe the report of the Lord. Well, many people sang it, but they didn't believe it. Because things have been said. So you got to come to that place where the word is so much in you. That's when I had a heart attack. The word was so much in me that when I went down and this voice said to me, you're going to die. And I said, devil, this isn't between me and you. This is between me and my God, and you will not kill me. And he didn't.
Hallelujah.
Within an hour, I was completely healed.
Praise God.
Well, it didn't heal Ed. The word did. But you know what? I didn't decide to believe the word when I went down. I had already had the word in me and in me and in me. And my body was giving me a terrible report. I was having trouble breathing. I am sweating. I have this pain in my neck and down my one shoulder. All these things they say are symptoms. Man, I told you, I was the classic. I mean, I was the guy that you had used to study. I had all the symptoms. Weakness. I mean, I just can't. And I'm down there, I had a hard time breathing. And a voice says to you, you're going to die. And that voice didn't quit. But when I took a hold, strength started coming back up in me. Not completely at first, not completely. And I finally got up off the ground. And I was going to our mailboxes are all in one area and a thing. And I was walking back to my house. I was heading back. And I mean, I was having problems. But I was still walking back. And that voice is still going on. And I said, I'm going to go for a run. That's what I said. I'm going for a run. Now, I didn't do that. It's just not showing off. I'm not trying to prove anything to God. There's one thing. I'm just showing the devil. I ain't afraid of you. And I ain't afraid of death. What you do is going to determine what you're afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
And I just said, I'm going to go for a run. Now, that sounded completely stupid. But I'll tell you. In here on the inside, I knew I could and I wouldn't die. I knew it. I knew I wasn't going to die. I just knew it on the inside. Why? The word's true. People make their biggest mistake at the time something happens. That's when usually the most of the wrong decisions are taking place. They make decisions during panic. There's no thought. Hurry up, do this. Quick, do that. Do this. Everybody starts doing things in the natural and nobody stops and listens on the inside. And I'm going to tell you, there's life on the inside. The Holy Spirit's in you. People start acting like they want to get God on the scene. I'm sorry. God lives in me. I never have to try to get him on the scene. He lives in me. See, you got to become, that's got to become real to you that he's on the inside of you. You're not trying to get him to come. I'm not trying to try to get him. People say, oh, it just seems like my praying and my prayer. I've heard my prayers don't get above the ceiling. They ain't got to. God lives in me. He can't hear the Holy Ghost. It's like, so you get this preaching and this stuff and people say things and people, and it rips the reality of the glory of God out of your life. It slowly takes it, you know. Something happens to you and God ain't knowing about it. You got to tell him. God knew when I bit the dust. He knew it. He knew it. It was what I was going to do is what was going to change. You need to understand this. It's about what you do. You open the door to let him do something. You open the door, faith pleases him. You say, well, I don't have much. Well, use what you got. Make him happy with what you got. Hallelujah. And that's what we do. We just stay with it. Stay with it, folks. Hallelujah. And the whole time I was trying to run down. It wasn't much a run. It was more of trying to put one foot in front of the other a little bit faster. That's what it was. I'm serious. That's exactly what it was. But I'm down through the road. And that same voice says, what are the people in the church going to think when they find you dead along the road? That voice kept saying it to me. What are they going to say? It finds you down. Huh, and you believing in healing. Well, I knew that wasn't God talking to me. And you know what? I wouldn't answer him. I don't need to answer him. I'm not going to give him the pleasure. I just kept thanking God I was healed. I said, I'm so glad I'm healed. And I don't know why he picked the spot he did or whatever it worked. I don't know, but I'm going down through. And it's one exactly. It's what I would go out and run is it was the first mile marker that I would hit running in miles. I would usually either run 3-5 miles or so. And there were certain areas of markers I knew how far it was. And there was one crossroad down from my place exactly a mile away. And when I hit that intersection, every symptom left my body instantaneously. Every symptom just poof, and I took off running. And I ran about 4 miles back to the house. Back inside the house. See, Nobby told me that was crazy. That was foolish. Oh, yeah, that I got healed. That was crazy and foolish. Say, well, what if you did? What? See, people start, that's what goes to people. People start into this. Well, what if you did? I'll tell you what. I'd rather die doing my best to believe God than live like a fool.
Amen.
Than live like a fool and lie to people and talk about having faith and have none. That's what people do. No? Hallelujah. You got to get to the point where, you know, I will not receive an answer. You know, one of the things that I thought when I went down the ground, because see, my father-in-law that had a bad heart, and he was, and I know what he went through in life and the medications and all that stuff. And that was one of the first things that I thought about when I went down the ground. I said, I'm not going to live that life. I ain't going to do that because you go and you're going to be living. I ain't doing it. I thought, I'd rather not be alive than live like that.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Glory to God. See, we're going to take communion this morning. You're taking your health that was given. I mean, receive your health today in the name of Jesus. Receive your son. Receive it. And then receive it. Act like it's true. Make it your confession. Hallelujah. Health is what you have. It's not what you're trying to get.
Amen.
It becomes just part of your life of thinking, hallelujah, he self took my infirmities, bore my sickness. This way when something comes knocking on your door, the first thing you think about is healing, not your problem. Hallelujah. He's my healer. See, that's the first thing I think about. Something comes, I think about my healing. Hallelujah. I think about the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead inside of me and making my life, my body alive. Hallelujah. I'm not trying to get that. I'm not asking God for that. That's already working in me. Either I respond to it or just let it go and say, well, you know, things happen. Hallelujah. Yes, things happen to me. You get healed. That happens. That happens.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. See, get that in your mind. Get that into your thinking. That's what he wants to do. Hallelujah. Make healing as easy to get as your salvation was.
Amen.
Make healing. So Jesus said it. I just can't get my head wrapped around. He lied. He was talking about spiritual healing. What? I don't know what they mean when they say that because I can't find it in the Bible. It's not there. But the church preaches it. I'm going to tell you, just receive your health today.
Amen.
Receive it. It's yours. It was given to you. You're not trying to get it anymore.
Amen.
It was given to you. Hallelujah. Jesus did all that suffering. Hallelujah. So you can be well. See, we want to think, we want to ring the dinner bell for the world in this last day. And the dinner bell is healing. That's when Jesus came. He rang the dinner bell of healing to get people's attention. He hasn't changed. Ring the dinner bell of healing. You think you don't ring it for the church? We're going to take healing to people. We can't have it. Hallelujah. See, let's live in the light of the glory. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to open up here. Glory to God. We'll take our communion together. Glory, glory, glory.